This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Close our eyes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we thank you for moments in your presence that refreshes us. God, we dedicate this service to you. God, every word that we're about to say, Lord, I submit myself, Lord, to your word, to your spirit, and only what you want, Lord, this morning. Nothing else. Holy Spirit, that you would silence my mind in any area, Lord, which you do not want to pass. Thank you for every heart right now, Lord, ready to receive. May your name be glorified, Father, this morning. May your kingdom come in our hearts, in this town, in this nation. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may take your seats. Thank you, guys, behind me. Something happening here in the English service. I don't know if people are sleeping later, or there's more English people. I don't know, but I am happy. So seeing more of you here, but I've said it in the first service, and I want to emphasize that as well. We're going to close the doors in a few moments, so you need to decide whether you want to be in here or out there. I'm just joking, because today is probably something I want to share with you that's been in my heart for a couple of weeks now. You know, sometimes God would put something there, and then you know that this is what God wants. But when I heard this time, he was like, God, why? It doesn't make sense, you know. And then you just walk with that word, and you just carry that for a while, and then after a while, that thing starts to grow inside of you, and God starts to give you explanation and understanding and revelation, and I understand more than ever why God is asking me to share with you a couple of things this morning. But before we share, I want us to read scripture first, just to be a little bit biblical. Yeah, it's just a joke there. Don't take too serious. So Luke 4, if you've got your Bibles with you. Turn to a Christian if you're not here, you haven't got your Bible. Please bring that little book with you next time. You can make notes in that. I can give you one if you think it's too holy that you can't make notes in that. I love writing that. You can tear out pages, put it in there. No. Okay, that's just a joke. Okay. Amen. Let me just see if everybody's awake, okay? Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. Shout whatever you want to do, then I know you are present. Amen. I'll say, I'm a met me. Luke 4, verse 14. And I really want to share something, as I said, but let me get there. First, let's lay a foundation. I'll talk you through this. In verse 14, it says, then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. I think I've got the New King James Version here. That's fine. it's behind me. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. He taught regularly in the synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, and that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. In other words, Jesus says, this is me. I am the one he's speaking about here. Everyone spoke well of him and was amazed by the gracious words that came from his lips. How can this be? They ask. Isn't this Joseph's son? Then he said, you will undoubtedly quote me this proverb. Physician, heal yourself. Meaning, do miracles here in your hometown like you did in Capernaum. But I tell you the truth, no prophet is accepted in his own hometown. Certainly there were many needy widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the heavens were closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine devastated the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them. He was sent instead to a foreigner, a widow of Zarephath in the land of Sidon. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elijah, but the only one healed was Naaman, a Syrian. When they heard this, the people in the synagogue were furious. I think this translation refers to wrath. Yeah, we're filled with wrath. Jumping up, they mobbed him and forced him to the edge of the hill on which the town was built. They intended to push him over the cliff, but he passed right through the crowd and went on his way. Today is probably the last, you know, you look at the year ahead and you look at the opportunity you have to speak to people from the pulpit. And probably today is the last time I would be able to speak to you from a pastoral perspective. The next meeting or next time this month when I have the opportunity is going to be our Thanksgiving service. And we're going to just dedicate that complete service just to reflect upon this year and thank God. And then we go into December. And we have some people expect us to speak on Christmas. No, I'm not saying we're going to do. But they're going to be different crowds and different things. And you know, you adapt to that because we have people. So for us as a congregation, I think it's a God moment. And I really sense it because God is giving me something here this morning. I want us to take notes this morning. Three things I want to share quickly on that. But it's something that's on my heart for a while now. And in the last few weeks, I've seen this more than ever, why God is saying this. I'm so excited, but yet I'm also concerned, if I can put it that way. I've been in meetings the last few months with some of my colleagues, and I say colleagues, brothers, and that are also in ministry, in full-time ministry. Some of them are not in full-time ministry, spoke to several other leaders. And when you engage with these people, we know normally share the stuff that we do, working with sheep, And just sharing our hearts with one another, because we're all just being appointed in different places and different flocks over God's sheep. And then we share about the sheep and we share a little bit about the goats as well. But we just tell them, just look out, there's a goat coming your way. So that's just a joke. That's just a joke. But by the way, I just want to say that out of respect for so that people know, we really honor one another, and I believe that we should have that kind of relationship with one another in other churches, because there are goats out there. That's the reality. Scripture actually talks about that. And the goats, they travel around, because they don't like to be in a kraal. What's it? In a pen. What's that word? Pen, huh? Is that the right word? A what? In a paddock. They don't like it. If you've been on farm, you'll see they go in their own direction. So we got to warn one another every now and then. But it wasn't a goat discussion. Please, hear my heart. I think it's just, you know, sharing with people and colleagues and leaders and you hear where they are and the struggles they have and you realize that, you know, what sometimes life is just or what we are doing. I'm not saying we, you as well. Some of you are working with people and we've got cell groups. It's a mini form of that as well. That we work with people, we are expected to be transparent, but in the process we become a little bit vulnerable as well, you know, and we start to love people, but in that process of loving people, when you get closer to people, there's always a risk that you're going to be disappointed, okay? Amen. Is that true? Or am I talking nonsense? Huh? Think about your marriage. Don't think about church for a moment. If you're truly going to love people, there's a reality, your heart is busy opening up, you're giving somebody, you're everything, you give the person the benefit of the doubt, and then something happens, and then, how do I deal with this? Church is not different in that way. It's just many more people and many more other dynamics that's coming with it. So in this process of, I want to say, the mess of life, that things start to get messy, you realize, oh, how do I deal with this stuff? Yet God has called us, you know, become transparent, forgive, heal, leave it there, you know, lift people up. That is the reality of church. If you thought church is going to be smart, you've not been in the church long enough. It's a messy place. I'm not trying to say to scare you away from church. I'm actually just telling you it's a reality. It's a messy place. Amen? You can say amen on that. I won't penalize you for that. I'm saying it's a messy place. But you know what? God says, in this messy place, this is the place where I want you to disciple. This is a hospital for the sick. It's a family, but it's also an army, you know. And it's about getting people out of that world, get them healed, get them fixed, put some plasters on there, get your act together, become part of the family. And now, listen, once you're part of the family, we've got to send you out there, start making war against the evil one. Take the ground, as we've heard. So many of us just spend too much time in the hospital. And some of us just need to hear, it's time. Stop drinking that tablet. You're becoming dependent upon that stuff. Huh? Amen. So here's the thing. God wants to take us and move us in this process, but it's not always nice. It's not always nice. In this place, I've seen more friendly fire inside the church than outside the church. Because we shoot one another. Oh, this one. Did you know that one? Oh, I just can't believe it. We are more for the world out there sometimes. And I'm not saying us just specifically. I'm saying I've seen this. That we sometimes shoot one another. We haven't got grace with one another. We are quick to respond to certain things. Because you know what? You're supposed to act like a Christian. You're supposed to do this. And we've got such expectation upon one another. That it's no wonder that we are set up for disappointment. I've seen in the last 6 months, have several discussions. I had specific discussions with people where my heart was just leaping with fear, but with a godly anger when I've seen that people has pushed their own agenda above the agenda of God and how much damage it has brought in churches, in relationships, in a lot of things. And in that moment, I'm like, God, I'm just becoming angry. Then I'm afraid. And then it's the holy fear of God that's coming upon me. Because here's the thing. I realize we are not exempt of that. None of us are exempt of that. That we live out there, that the enemy, even what is beautiful right now in our midst, I mean, we've had amazing encounters in God's presence the last couple of weeks. Can somebody say amen? Or is it just me that had amazing encounters in God's presence? But I know at the same time as God's presence is here, God is doing things, a lot of stuff is going to come with that. Huh? Amen. Hey, the enemy's not just going to sit back and say, Shofar Swakopmund, have a smooth ride to the kingdom, with the kingdom of God, to heaven and enjoy yourself. No, he's coming for us. Yeah. Although, I mean, even it comes from my lips, it sounds like a bad prophecy, but it's a reality. We got to protect and steward what we have. Amen. That's why it's on my heart this morning to speak to you as a father, as a pastor this morning and say, listen, if there's one thing God dropped in my heart, then I don't do it normally like that. But that word offense that sat on my heart. And I said, God, offense. Oh, I don't want to talk about offense. But, you know, you can't get away of that. And you start talk to God and God's directing you down this route. But I've seen that's the place probably here that it can happen so easily. That we take offense of something or somebody or whoever and we carry that stuff and it becomes so poisonous that it damages us beyond control. It's a test that all of us will write. If you haven't written that test, wake up. It's coming. But today, the good news is, I'm going to give you three things what you got to look out for continuously. And if you, I really sense that God is saying, if you look at those three things through that lens, through those three questions, it's going to help you. You still need to choose. You still need to choose how you're going to respond. And I am sometimes like, you know what, I want to, with my kids, I know, I can kind of, I don't want to say it loud, manipulate them. But I know I have a small window of manipulation here. Now, I'll say direction, steering them. But there's another word, manipulation. But you know what, you want to influence is probably the better word. That's this, manipulation is the devil's word, influence is... I want to influence them. Let me just rephrase. Can you just edit that? So there's people out there. Apologize. I want to influence them, but I know I cannot choose for them. The same here at church. My heart is here for everybody to say, listen, I want to get you to the other side. There's always going to be tension between what God is showing me, what God is showing the leader, where we are going, and then there are your sheep that's saying, oh man, the grass is green here. We just want to graze a little bit here. No, no, listen, God's saying we need to move. It's time to move. So it's a tension. It's finding that balance between equipping people, teaching people, showing them there's something where we need to go, but we take them with us, wherever you go. And when we take people with us, but we don't camp at specific places when God says move. When Moses left Egypt, he took a lot of people with him. Unfortunately, it's not the same people that entered in the promised land. And I want to say to you this, and this is what I saw, and this is where my heart starts to goes like that. I am afraid, if I could put my fears out there, that some people in this room, or maybe out there, will not be with us in a year or two from now if they don't listen this morning to what I'm about to share. Why? Because I want to take as many people there. And it's never the heart of any leader to just dish people along the way and say, you know what, go find yourself somebody else or somewhere else. I said to the people in the first service, we know we're building the church building, and I cannot tell you how many times I imagine that first day we will stand on that platform and worship God. Well, we've been in that ground without a building worshiping God. But there will be a day that we will complete that place. And then we'll fill that room and give glory to God. That's not the destination. Wait a minute. And it's surely not the destination, but for now it's a place where we're going and passing through. And we got to grow through stuff and we're going to trust God and all of that. But I know alongside the way, enemy is also actively involved. Trying to get people just discouraged, get them distracted, all kinds of things, you know. And that is not our reward this morning. It's just one thing that God is asking us to do. But our heart is to take people with us, to get us to that place and make sure that everybody that left Egypt hopefully gets to the promised land. And we don't want to repeat the story of Israel when people in the desert passed away. Some became negative, some felt became just so unthankful. The story this morning of Luke, or where Luke is telling the story about Jesus coming to Nazareth, gives us three things, three hurdles, a kind of precedent it sets for us looking at Jesus' life, that when we look at ourselves, we apply that. It's three things that we'll have to overcome, three questions probably that we'll have to ask ourselves in order to overcome offense. That wasn't the English word. Offense. But in that place, listen, Scripture refers to a full reward, a partial reward, and no reward. You can receive a full reward, a partial reward, and a no reward. I can't go into that depth now. But for us as a congregation, for you as individual, you want to make sure that you receive the full reward of what God has got in store for you. Amen? Well, just some of us. Saki, full or partial? Full. Amen. Okay. Only Saki wants full. Okay. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Saki. Bit of excitement. I just want to say we have something special here. And I'm trying to protect that. You can say amen. I'm trying to protect what God is doing here. I'm trying to steward what God is doing here. And sometimes in stewarding and protecting, you got to warn people ahead of time. Listen, it's going to come down in 6 months your way, or six weeks. You know, God is just so faithful. He will warn you ahead of time. Listen, just watch down the way there. There's something down there. Just be careful. That's why I want to just here for a moment. Make note of what I'm saying. Three things. Please make note of this, because it will be challenged on this. Verse 16 says, when he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. Listen, scripture is very deliberately saying certain words and certain things. Jesus didn't just go to Nazareth as it was just another town. Actually, he's been in other places, ministering other places very successfully. Then he came to Nazareth, the place where he grew up, his boyhood home. Nazareth represents that place of familiarity. And here's the thing. When we become too familiar with the presence of God, it strips us from the God encounters that we could potentially have. If a Sunday just becomes another Sunday, there's a real danger that you miss God. If a cell group just becomes another cell group, there's a real danger that we can miss God. If a prayer meeting is just another prayer meeting, if another visitor coming to us is just another man that's just coming here, we're going to be surprised when God is going to minister. And God's got the prerogative to decide. I've spoken about it a few years ago. The where, the when, the what, and the how. It's not our prerogative this morning. God decides. Listen, I want to do this now. And if we're going to be like the people of Nazareth, we might miss it. Jesus stepped into that familiar place where they've all seen him before. It's just Joseph's son. Oh, yeah, Joseph's son is here. But they missed that the king came in the form of Joseph's son. And because they couldn't give honor, because there's so many things that happened there, they just couldn't receive. See, familiarity breeds contempt. And we become too familiar with the presence of God and with the men of God, we're going to miss God moments. And my question is, what I'm asking ourselves is, can we discern God moments? In the last 2 years, And I say this lovingly as a pastor, but I really want to ask us, please, please, please hear me out here this morning. We need to be able to discern God moments. We cannot, when people visit or people come, or when we have moments, be so occupied with other things that when God is working here, we're just in a different planet. And then we hear the new secondhand from somebody that's been there, oh, by the way, you don't want to know what happened at church, or don't want to happen at that conference, or at that convergence, or whatever it might be. Because God sets us up continuously for those encounters. You know why God doesn't want us to get used to forms like this? Because he doesn't want to be squashed into that stuff. So we're like, oh, it's another conference. Ah, it's another this, another that. But God chose deliberately to work there just to break this thing. Of Jesus, you should fit into this. There's Kairos moments, different Kairos moments with different impartations. Listen to me. Different impartations, different Kairos moments, because God knows what you and me need. Amen. It's not just the word of God. It's different things that God would do at different times. And you need some medicine today that you didn't need yesterday, and tomorrow you would need something else that you need. And here's the thing, God would choose different men of God because of the anointing, because of the impartation, because of what they have to impart that to us. Amen. That is the reality. If we are too familiar, as these people were in Nazareth, we start to form this mold. Quentin said, Quentin talk about the mold. The mold of how people should talk, how a man of God should look like, how we should do church, how we should relate to one another. And in reality, all of us, you've got a mold this morning, brother, sister. Just tell the person you've got a mold. Tap the person next to you and tell him you've got a mold. Only problem is that mold becomes so small, the longer we sit in church, the more religious we become. We narrow that down. Oh, you know what? Are you supposed to talk like that? Oh, who's he to tell me? And then the thing becomes so small, God needs to work through that narrow mold and lens of us. And then God can't work through that anymore. God doesn't want to work through that anymore. We can't receive anymore. That's the problem with religion. We must be able to receive from whosoever. It's God's. Listen, it's God's prerogative to choose the messenger and give him the message. I've received, and I just want to say this for the record here, I've received messages from God from men and women that you've never thought you would receive. And they still add a few curse words in there as well. Listen to me. We're all in the process of being renewed. I'm not justifying behavior of people. I'm not saying everybody that stands always here is always perfect. But I'm saying I can look past that and say, Jesus, I can hear your voice through that imperfect vessel. Because we just look at that, what we see, but how much of this stuff can we not see at the back there? You know. So here's the thing. God is going to sometimes surprise us. Get ready for that. God is going to sometimes throw something our way, and he just want to see how strong is our mold. Have we become used to that custom? Have we trying to squeeze him in within that mold and say, Jesus, you need to work within that. If you can't, it can't be you. And we miss a God moment. Where's my stuff here? I've got an illustration I want to do here. One more here. Who likes this paper? You can be honest. There's no wrong or right here. People that's in the first service, keep quiet. Okay? It's not a test. Just, do you like the paper? Who likes the paper? Raise your hand. It's a few people. Okay? The old people like the paper. No. That was just a joke. Okay? That just came out. Okay? I repent. Okay? No. I have to get back on track. This is the problem of making jokes. No. It's just personal preference, okay? You might like it or you like it. Do not like it. I mean, it's irrelevant. I've asked Raleen just wrap this thing in a piece of paper, okay? So I've got another one here. Somebody said it looks like a little bread. And I can imagine, nice, 1 o'clock, I'm going to have some bread. Anyway, just wrapped in a cloth. It's just a brick wrapped in a cloth. And then we have another one here, a raw version. Okay, here's the thing. This represents the message. So God would, from time to time, depending on, and I had a very interesting discussion this after the first service with somebody that's saying she's relating more to some people, and that's normal. Some people speak to our hearts. That's just the way. You have preference to certain people that will minister to you easier. I've got that as well. Nothing wrong. Don't feel guilty, okay? So God would sometimes send us certain people, and you like the rapping. Oh, I received the message because I like that guy. He's a nice preacher. Amen? Come on, that's a reality. You know that's the truth. Amen. Yeah? Because he speaks to your heart. He ministered to you. And you like the wrapping paper. So now suppose if I had to wrap this thing with Christmas paper, some of you would immediately, oh, not Christmas paper, please. No, not the tree. Oh, well, don't do that one. Well, guess what? God sometimes wraps the gift to you and he sends to you in a parcel or in a package that you do not like. But the message is still the same. God would sometimes use messengers and preachers that we do not like. I cannot say it more. Because I sometimes also sit there and I'm like, ouch! Because I don't like the makeup. I can't reject. Oh, here's the thing. Sometimes some are a little more softer. Hey, Saki, fool. Hey, Sach, man. So the message comes across softer. That's true. Some of us sometimes need to hear that more gently. Grace and truth. Jesus came to bring grace and truth. Remember that John speaks about Jesus came to bring grace and truth. He knew when to give grace and when to give truth. I don't want to go into that. But we need to have that ability as well to discern when we need to give grace and when we need to give truth. Grace sometimes will be soft and say, you know what? I can see you have repentance. I can see you understand that you have a problem. We'll give you a graceful message. And then, oh my. Why are you laughing? You all know. Some of us sometimes just needs this. A harde skurwe. Come on. Just get the message. So God would sometimes send us the package raw. Don't miss God because you don't like the wrapping. It's not about the wrapping this morning. Don't miss it. I've learned this early in my life. Whether it's my child, whether it's somebody there out there that I would probably not even look at a spiritual man and probably not think, oh, well, who is he? God would still use that person to speak to me. He might still smoke a few cigarettes, drink a few what, say a few words. But if my spirit is open, God can use that man or woman to minister to me. We must be ready to discern the God moments, not to look at the person. And I'm saying pray for the people. Pray for those messengers because all of us are just human beings, fallible human beings that standing here. You know what? If only sinless people could stand here in the front and minister to people, oh, there would have been none of us and we could stand here. But the reality is we have to stand here and talk about our failures, about what I've done with my wife and what I've done there and all of that, and we just have to be transparent. But that's what God has called us, to be transparent and just stand here and say, listen, this is where God has called us. But we can't miss God moments. Amen? Amen. Don't push it away because you don't like Christmas paper. Sorry. Oh, Joseph's son, verse 22. Everyone spoke well of him and was amazed by the gracious words that came from his lips. How can this be, they ask? Isn't this Joseph's son? Joseph's son, yeah. He's a king, man. But he came in the form of Joseph's son. He wasn't Joseph's son. He was the king. But yet, the people looked at him as Joseph's son. And they missed him. Why? Because their expectation of the king, the Messiah, the Jews, had a specific expectation of how the king should look to come and deliver them from the Roman Empire. Eh? So they already had a certain paradigm, a certain expectation, even before Jesus stepped onto the scene. So when Jesus stepped onto the scene, oh, he's Joseph's son, he can't be the one, he's not the king. They struggled to receive from him. Why? Because they had specific expectations. Can I tell you what? Everyone in this room right now has got specific expectations about life, about church, about Shofar Shakumund, about me as your pastor, about your cell leader, about the school, about your husband, about your wife. We've got expectations. Isn't that true? You expect your wife to do this. You expect your husband to do this. You expect me to come and visit you every now and then. Come on, tell me it's an amen. You expect me to come and do all of that? It's fine. Thank you, Carol. I love you. Now I know. I've seen this too many times. We have expectations. And it's nothing wrong with expectation as such. Here's the thing. That's not necessarily from God. Just the fact that you have the expectation doesn't mean that the other person needs to fulfill that expectation. Think about that in marriage. See, there's a difference between the expectation and between reality. That person might not be there. So you are set up already for potential disappointment because you're expecting that person to operate within the perimeters of that expectation. And when that person doesn't meet that, guess what? I didn't come to visit me. Yeah. I was there, but he never came to me. Oh, he never spoke to me. Oh, you can, it's amazing the stuff that we get offended with. Huh? You can say amen if you haven't been there, please. This is funny. Actually, it's just funny. Sorry, I laugh about this. But sometimes we get offended about the smaller stuff. I really think God must sit there and say, oh, help me. Huh? No, it's just me. Sometimes the people just... We need to help one another here. What did we do with expectation? Take it to God. Take it to God. Because God will either do one of two things. He will either change your expectation, change it, lower it. I don't know what he wants to do. Eliminate that. Whatever. Let God do what he needs to do. Or he will change the heart of the other person. But we're too quick to talk. You know what we do? The moment our expectation is not met, you know what you've done to me. I've been hurt more, and I believe you would agree with me, even in marriage, even in any other place, when we talk too quickly before we spoke to God. People come to talk to you, and you listen, and you think, you never spoke to God before you came to me. All you came is just to empty and all that expectation, and you never filtered it through God. I tell you what, the church would be so much more offense-prone or free if we talk to God a little bit more before we go and talk to people about our expectations. I mean, think about your marriage. It'd be so much easier if I just first speak to God. Say, God, I'm so disappointed. God says, oh, okay, just die. Oh, no, God, oh, it's painful. You don't understand. Because dying is painful. Nobody hangs on the cross there and say, oh, crucify me. This is so nice. Dying for you, Jesus. Oh, this is so nice. No, it's painful. Saki, amen. Dying is painful. Tell me another way. I don't know if you use medication, but it's painful. Dying to ourselves. And when we go to God, God says, listen, lay down your life. Esteem others higher. This is not about your point. This is not what it's about. I'm busy with you. You know what? I figured out as well. Sometimes when God is busy with me, he doesn't care about my wife or the other person. But care in the sense that I might think the problem is there, but in reality, God is busy with me. So he uses that just to trigger something here so that he can work with me. And they might be wrong, or the other party might be wrong, but what God is saying to me is, listen, I'm busy with you. Forget about what the other person is doing. I'm busy with you. You need to die. And God is the only one that's able to do two things at the same time, not us. But in that case, the best thing is just to say, okay, God, I surrender. Carry on. Amen? Last one. So we're saying to one another this morning, can we discern God moments? Are we expecting too much? Or we have unrealistic expectations of one another? Because if we have unrealistic expectations, we're going to be set up for offense. And the last one that I see here, when we read verse 14 and 15, is when Jesus came as the king in the body of Joseph's son, he gave them a different authority. He wasn't just Joseph's son. There was a different authority in that man, in the earthly body that he was carrying. And divine authority, I want you to listen, divine authority creates a platform for divine order. But in order for divine order to be administered, we need men and women of God willing to submit to the plans of God of God's agenda so that that can function in our midst. And when God gives us such men of authority, guys, we can't miss those moments. Some of us, and I want to say that with respect, carry more authority. And it's not because God likes the other one more. I think it's just because people are willing to go to different lengths with God. So God would give you authority to the degree that you can obey, to the degree that you go. God doesn't hand out authority just like that and say, listen, we all got the same authority. No, no, no. We got to go to that place and say, Jesus, I'm going to die. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to obey you. And every time when we get to that place of dying to ourselves and we follow him wholeheartedly, we go up to that place that God has called us, we increase in authority. That's why some, when they speak, there's just something that happens, boom, and you don't know why is it. It's because people are willing to go there. And I tell you what, God wants to give that to all of us to the degree that we are willing to follow with that authority. But there's specific people, and God was sometimes used to lead us to places and to things. And the important thing is that we realize these Joseph's sons in our midst, that God would sometimes place there. We might miss that moment, but they are Joseph's son that God's going to use to take us to a specific plan, divine authority, divine things from God. And if we cannot learn to discern and to follow immediately, rather than arguing, we're going to have a hard time. When God says, change gears, change direction. You got to have a leader. You got to have somebody in place that say, listen, we go in this direction. You got to have somebody, same in your house. Somebody must take the lead and say, listen, God, we're following you, Jesus. We're going in this direction. I'm not talking about just trying to throw around authority and mess people around, especially husbands sometimes misuse that. Just, oh, you have to submit, yeah, because why? You follow God first. I want to speak to the husbands here. Follow God first and your wife will see that in you. Then you don't have to throw the card every now and then, oh, submit. My wife knows I love Jesus. And if she can see that I love Jesus, she will follow me. And yes, we can have tough conversations. Yes, we can have. But we need to love Jesus and model that and show that. Then it's very easy for people. You almost don't have to say that. But you know, when we misuse authority, we have to pull that card out there and say, listen, I am the man. You got to listen to me. And you know, sometimes I hate, that's the very last thing I have to do sometimes, just to get people back to their places. Listen, focus now. But when we follow Jesus passionately, oh, and people see that. People will come to that place and say, listen, I want to be with you. I want to be around you. It's your workplace. They see that authority inside of us. You don't have to. I think about the men and women of God in history. Oh, man, there were so many in Scripture. Jeremiah's, Isaiah's, Ezekiel's, all prophets of God that came, and they were not probably the most favorite ones there. I mean, you think, go and read that. I don't have time to go into that. But go and read and see what God asked some of those men to go and do. I tell you what, it wasn't nice stuff they had to come and do. But in that process, people were tested whether they could discern this is a message from God. Some of that stuff is actually so funny or so weird, I would think, oh God, please just don't ask me to do that. You know, really, I can't demonstrate that now. It would be very funny. But you read Scripture, there's some weird stuff there. But yet God said to those men and women, you do that and you speak prophetically to the people. And when the people looked at those men, they probably rejected the message because they looked at the messenger and they missed the message. And we must be very careful in days to come that God will send us, even in our midst, people that we sometimes think, oh no, man, God can't speak through Saki to me. No, that's wrong. God can use anybody in this room to speak to any person at any given time. If God could use a donkey, I want to say an unholy donkey that's not even spiritual, man. You are a natural being created in the image of God, Psalm 8 says. How much more can he use any of you? Huh? Amen. To speak and to speak the oracles of God. But we must be able to discern between that and say, this is not a Joseph's son. This is God speaking to me in this moment. I'm going to honor that. And I'm going to follow divine order. I'll end with this scripture. Luke 13:35 says this. I read it the other night when Pastor Michael was here. But it's a scripture close to my heart, dear to my heart. And it says, look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And he talks about that empty house that is desolate. He talks about honor. It's about a place of esteeming what God is doing through men and women of God, and that we continuously treasure that, steward that, and honor that. And say, Jesus, for me to receive the full reward, I need to be open continuously so that I can receive that. And I sense that maybe you, some of us here this morning, you've got an empty house, or you've, some parts of the house feels like it's ripped apart. And all God says, just learn to discern the God moments. Just be careful about your expectations and honor one another. Make sure that you follow divine order, because that's going to protect your house so that you can have a house filled with joy, house filled with a full reward. We, a couple of weeks ago, I think, 2-3 weeks ago, on a Friday night, they attempted to break into our house. And I woke up on the Saturday morning. Now the dogs were barking. Now they barked the other night. That night they barked a little bit more. My wife told me, oh, you need to get up. And I'm like, oh, I'm so tired. Anyway, long story short, the next morning I get up and I noticed on our grass, on the lawn, there was just a window lying there. They attempted to break in. And they tried to break in into my girl's room, little girl's room as well. So anyway, you're shocked for a moment. Anyway, and long story short, fixed it. They obviously couldn't go in, or they, something scared them away. But that's not the message. So I spoke to the Lord after this, and something, you know, this is stupid. I had a conversation with the Lord. I said, Lord, what happened here? Some would think it's just another person trying to break in. Well, that's not what God told me. God said to me, Yaku, it's irrelevant what happened. I just want you to know that I protected you. It's so good. When I figured out a week later that some of our people in our congregation, one of our cell groups, had this impression to go to our house and to stand on our ground and to pray, they went there, they obeyed God, and they did that the Thursday. It happened on the Friday. Talk about obedience. Talk about hearing God's voice. So here's the point I'm trying to make and bring across. I don't believe it's God's heart that any of ours, our spiritual houses, are being robbed by all kinds of things, offenses, and stuff that we mingle with, and the way we react with one another. That God is saying to us this morning, listen, make sure that your house doesn't get robbed. Because you know what? We go through life sometimes with empty houses. We sit in the church, we're empty. We've got anger, we've got disappointment. And I tell you what, for where we're going, those tests will come. Guess what? What I'm saying to you today, it's not a prophecy, it's just the reality of Jesus said, whoa, it's going to come. So when those stuff come, ask yourself this question, is this a God moment, God? Because if this is a God moment, let me just put aside my mold, my thoughts, whatever is now. Let me just, it might be difficult for me to understand this. It might not be within my frame of reference, but God help me here to hear your voice in this moment. Or maybe when we are confronted or whatever, and you get disappointed, you need to ask yourself the question, God, have I got unrealistic expectations about that other person? Because it sets me up for disappointment. And the other thing, sadly to say, some people just struggle with authority. Say, God, help me. Help me to see your divine plan so that I can follow that. Follow the people that's with me so that we can as one follow to that direction. This past week, we've shifted gears so quickly from one prayer meeting in the practical to five in the natural. And when we were sitting here and I'm hearing God's voice and I'm saying, yes, God, I hear, come up higher. And now at the same time, I'm listening and I'm saying, God, give me strategy. God, how are we going to do this? We want to obey you. And before I could even kind of, you know, reason around this, God said, 1-5, boom. And I'm like, what do you mean, God? Seriously, I don't know if the people even can go there from 1-5. And I'm talking about one prayer meeting to 5 a week. That was such a massive step for us. But here's the thing. Sometimes if we allow reasoning to come in, we tell ourselves how we can't. Oh, this doesn't make sense. Oh, this can't be God. Oh, maybe we should just go to 2. But I knew at that moment God said, don't reason now, just do. Just Nike it. Those of you who know that, Nike. Some stuff God calls us, don't reason. Don't reason with God. Just follow him. And you'll see where he takes you. I've got a letter that I want to read to you this morning. During this past week, Pastor Michael sent me a letter, and he asked me to read this to you. And I sense this is a God moment for us as well, that we really just listen this out, because I believe God is taking us to a beautiful and wonderful place. But we got to protect that. We got to walk closely to one another. We got to cover each other's backs. We got to think the best of one another. We got to make sure that offense doesn't come in here, but it's going to try and come, and that we fight for one another. It says here, "Dear saints, with true tears of joy and victory, I sincerely greet and bless you. In the matchless name of Jesus, I send you richest greetings and love towards the saints in your part of his vineyard. We have enjoyed good rains today, and as I write to you, there's soft but good rains after a lovely storm. I'm earnestly praying the same for you, that the Lord is truly glorified and that you are all blessed. Never give up, your rewards will come. As your leader, so with the people, you are a beautiful, responsive, and above all, truly loving people who radiate the beauty and majesty of Christ. Thank you beyond words for your graciousness and the blessings you showered upon us in so many ways. You are what a true New Testament church ought to be. Jesus permeates your fellowship, and it was an honor to be with you and a part with you in his kingdom ministry. Most of the church today is Laodicean, but you are surely of the house of Philadelphia. Hold fast that which you have. It is worth fighting for. I've seen your love and faithfulness and obedience." And listen, people, this is a prophetic word coming our way, and I want you just to listen this out. "I'm going to enlarge you greatly and establish you as a spiritual leader of apostolic authority for the nation and even nations. I will raise you up in the shofar churches to set a new kingdom vision for these end times. Those who will listen and obey will walk with you and establish my kingdom authority. In his service, I remain your obedient servant." Oh, man, that's what God comes to do. He invites us to the platform. He says, "Listen, I've got work for you to do." In the last 3 years, God has given us a mandate for the nation in three different areas. In reaching the next generation, in intercession, and also in worship. We never ask for that. It's just God saying, "I want you to work on that, steward that." Let's close our eyes. Every eye closed. I was in prayer this morning in my office, and the Lord took me to the cross for a moment, and then I saw, it's almost as if I experienced that shame of Jesus' naked body when he was hanging at the cross. I never experienced it like that before. But the intense shame Jesus must have experienced in front of his disciples hanging nakedly and exposed on the cross in front of those people there. I said, "Lord, what is this? Why am I experiencing this?" And I just sensed the Lord spoke to me in that moment, and he said to me this, "You know, sometimes we shame one another in this place with our words. We strip one another for the stuff that we say about one another behind each other's back. Some people do not even know what you've spoken about them. But here's the thing, when we speak those words, we break down, we strip that person naked in front of us, and we lose the ability to receive from that person because he's shamed in front of us. And all God wants to do is to restore that. You don't know, you know, Jesus have to repent before God. That's all. All we're going to do in this moment is just ever, wherever you are. Maybe you just thought something, you were disappointed, you were, your expectation were not met, and you said something in that moment that was probably shameful that you would not say out there. And God just wants us, maybe it's for your husband, maybe it's your wife, I don't know where it is, maybe out there, but the Holy Spirit is making you aware of your tongue and what you said then.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.